Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey through the Bible broadcast. Well, my name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be your co-host. I am a Messianic pastor, a rabbi, and our quest on this show is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed to answer the perplexing question that tends to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with Yeshua, our Savior, and for some of us on this call, our Bridegroom. Now, at this time, I have the distinct pleasure and honor to also introduce the other half of the co-host of this show, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, and thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction. It is always a pleasure to be a co-host. It's a blessing to share the truth of the Word of God, Yah. This is our 58th show, and we will begin with a new question on this show. And our question is, what does it mean that the love of many will grow cold? And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right, and I'm going to start us off with prayer. So, Father, first of all, thank you for forgiving me of my sins, my iniquities, and my transgression. And I choose, I make a quality decision. I make an effort, the effort that you have built within me to be able to exert. I make that effort right now to forgive those who have sinned against me, caused iniquity and transgression against me. Father, I thank you and my family. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity for you to just be able to have your way and fulfill your destiny and your call for this specific time in history, this specific time to speak to us about this question and about our lives, about how to protect ourselves from losing the love, the biblical love that you talk about in your word. Father, help us to understand what it is, what it isn't, and the telltale signs, Father, of when we are beginning to lose that precious anointing and momentum and drive and passion that you've given us. We ask all these things in Yahushua's name, in your son's name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'll pass it back to you, Evangelist Tanita, and you could kind of get us up to speed to some of the events and situations, some wonderful, some not so wonderful, that has caused us to have such a lapse in time before we've gotten back on the show. So I'll let you do that, and then we'll jump into the question.
Okay. And so as many of you know, we have been off the air for probably about 6-8 weeks. We've had different things going on, both personal as well as just vacation time. But I know in my case, it was probably rough for the last couple of months with my dad being very sick. But the blessing is that he has supernaturally recovered. And I praise Yah for you, Rabbi, being my pastor, as well as the core team. And I can truly say that I've seen an operation when the elders come and lay hands and pray, because things have changed. And I hope it's a blessing to those that are listening, to be encouraged, to know who you're assigned to. And as you're following and obeying Yah in who you are, and being under the right leadership, understand, yes, the attacks may come, but you'll always have victory. And that's what I can say. Yes, the attacks come, but at the end of the day, I have had victory in every area. And so so that we can get into the question, I'll stop there. But for those of you to understand that, what does it mean that the love of many has grown cold? We're basing that out of Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And so, Rabbi John,
yes,
I'll hand the show back to you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, and what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and read that passage, if we could, just so that you out there can get an opportunity to understand the reference. And we'll be on this passage for a little while. And the reason why I say that is because this is the attack or at least one of the major attacks, I'll say it that way. This is one of the major attacks of the enemy right now on the body of Christ and the body of Messiah. And what is happening, it's, of course, diabolic, like all of the assigned skirmishes and things of that nature are. But this one is designed to take the very heart, the very desire, the very passion that you received when you first accepted Yeshua. And I know some of you on this call can remember when you first received him, and the joy, the passionate joy and peace, serenity that came all over you. Not to mention also for some of you on this call that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when the Ruach HaKodesh came to live inside of you and filled you completely full to the full, to the point to where you began to speak with unknown tongues or languages, as is talked about in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The diabolical, demonic attack of the enemy is to drain you so succinctly and so completely from the relationship and the intimacy and the joy of communing with the Holy Spirit, to where the very love for the Father and for Yeshua, for your husband, begins to turn into hate. Because the absence of the Spirit of Yah working within you to cause you to be who and what you're supposed to be. Scripture even says we can't even be effective witnesses without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So without activating it properly and regularly, then this diabolical tool of the enemy becomes a large portion of a Christian's demise in their walk. It doesn't just cause them to stumble. It causes them to give up hope and all restraint of ever being all that they were called to be. And you find their carcasses on the sides of the righteous path. This is the reason why we've got to answer this question. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24, because our desire is not to be like those carcasses that we see on the side of the road. Our desire is to finish the course. As the scriptures say in Revelations, those who overcome, not those who succumb to temptation, but those who overcome the test, overcome the trial, overcome the temptations, are the ones that will receive the prize. So with that said, we're going to jump into Matthew chapter 24. And if you can begin to read it also, not just only in the King James, but if you could also read it in the Amplified, that would be a blessing. As well, so that we can begin to get a better study definition, if you will, of exactly what is being spoken about and discussed here. Okay? And we'll probably start, I'm looking at starting with, I think there's a break between 11 and maybe 10 in this particular passage. I'm not sure what you have, Evangelist Tenita, but we'll go with what you have there, and we'll read that passage and then begin to break it down.
Okay. So I'll start at verse 10 because it looks like that.
Okay.
So it says, and this is the New King James, and now I'll read the Amplified. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now that's the New King James. The Amplified
okay.
at first says, and then many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him who they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error. The love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. And that's the Amplified.
Okay, now in the Amplified, there were a lot of good nuggets that I'm sure quite a few of you picked up on. One of the ones I want to go back to and have you read again, and then we'll start to really dive in there, is the one pertaining to many were offended.
Yes.
In the Amplified, it says, now what passage is that? Is that verse 11 or 10?
Verse 10, Rabbi John.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Verse 10, and many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey. And will stumble.
Okay, stop there. Stop there for just a second. Okay. Even though it sounds like and it gives the pretense that it starts with those who should trust but are not trusting. Okay. It's even deeper than that, and it's even before that. Hold on just one second. I think we're getting an echo, and so if someone could take it off speaker, that would be fantastic. Okay. All right. So with that being said, it's important to understand and it's important to know, okay, that Matthew chapter, and we're just kind of going through some context here. So we're doing some biblical interpretation of this particular topic before we actually get into the scriptures themselves. So we're going to go into a contextual analysis for those of you scholars out there. And it's imperative for us to understand and to know that in Matthew chapter 24, it's unique in a lot of ways. But one of the main ways is that this is a direct connection with the book Revelation that John was given. And in this passage, in chapter 24, the understanding of this particular narrative is talking about futuristic things. If you go to verse 1 and 2, as they're walking, and as the disciples and Yeshua are walking, and the Yeshuas are just kind of enamored with the gravity of Herod's temple and wanting to brag about that and show that to the Messiah, and he begins to have a spiritual epiphany of what the Father had already told him prior. And he begins to give them a prophetic understanding of that epiphany and begins to let them know that this particular temple, you know, every stone is going to be severed from itself. And then from there, the Talmudim, the disciples, got overwhelmed by that revelation that was given to them and began to want to know, you know, more deeper, prying understanding of futuristic things that are going to happen potentially in their time and in yet the time to come. And so in that aspect, and when that was spoken by the disciples, this was when Yeshua began in what seems to be a chronological order of events, begins to give them an understanding of what's going to happen in the future. So I want you to go ahead, if you would, Evangelist Tanita, go ahead and read 1 through about 3 or 4, and just so that we can verify what was just shared, and then we'll go into the important understanding of the love of many growing cold, and that particular definition. But I want to make sure we keep everything in contextual symmetry here, if you will. All right, so if you can go ahead and read that, and you can read in the Amplified if you like.
Okay, yes, thank you. So I'm reading the Amplified, starting at verse 1 of chapter 24, Matthew. Jesus departed from the temple area and was going on his way when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings of the temple and to point them out to him. But he answered them, "Do you see all these? Truly, I tell you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." While he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will this take place? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end, the completion, the consummation of the age?"
Okay, can we stop there just for a second? All right, and we're still going to come back to the question, but I want to make sure as we get to that verse 12, as we get there, I want to make sure you get the rich nuggets that also complement the answer and why we are even starting this with verse 12 of 24 of Matthew. And in what was just said and by evangelists, I want to make sure that we don't miss that rich nugget, because it's a rich foundational piece that goes in and begins to answer the fullness of our purpose. So that's really, really important. I want you to read that latter part again that I stopped you at, just so that we can really extract all of the essence of that, and then we'll break that down and then move forward. Go ahead.
Okay.
It's probably the last
verse. So verse 3, while he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will this take place, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end, the completion, the consummation of the age?"
Amen. So we know that in what Yeshua spoke to him, at least a portion, one-third of those three-thirds questions were answered. The first question they wanted to know is, okay, when is this temple going to be severed stone from stone? What time period is that? And also, the next question, because that was the first of the three, then the second question is, when is your coming? When is your second coming? If people are taking notes right now, please understand, they were not asking him. This is so important. They were not asking him when the rapture was going to happen.
Amen.
Because they had not been instructed as to the significance of the rapture. They had not been instructed in a manner of speaking to where they understood it enough to ask that question. Now remember, all of what Yeshua is doing and what we're doing as brides, for those of you that are brides on this call, all of that is a pattern of the ancient Jewish wedding, all of it. And the part of that particular pattern in the ancient Jewish wedding, the bridegroom comes back not with the bride not knowing the day or the hour, but normally because of the contractual agreement, having a good understanding of the month and the year and the week, if you will, literally, that he is supposed to come back for her. But her not knowing the day or the hour, she's in anticipation until that time happens. Now, with that understanding, that part is clear now, which was not clear to the disciples then, that was the rapture. Okay? Because the disciples connected his second coming with his coronation, with the millennial period happening. Okay? That's what it was connected to. It's important for us to understand that, because in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, and when we go to like verse 4 through 7, and if you can keep your finger there, Evangelist Anita, and jump into Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, okay? And you can also include 8. 8 is a very memorable one for most individuals, believers, because it talks about Yeshua telling them to receive the Holy Spirit, and then they will receive power to become witnesses, which is what we were alluding to in the prayer. But then we're going to come back to Matthew chapter 24, but it's imperative that we see this so that you can understand that there are pieces to the puzzle that the apostles had no clue of. The only individual, the only individual that had a very healthy understanding of this rapture aspect, I'm talking about in the New Testament now, in the New Testament, was Rabbi Shaul or Paul of Tarsus. And we'll get into that. And then we're going to come back and we're going to break down the question, because it's important for us to understand all these pieces before we get to the question and begin to answer that. Okay, and that's in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through about 8. We're going to include 8, okay?
Okay. All right, and I'm going to read the Amplified. Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 4. And while being in their company and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, "You have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now you will be baptized with, placed in, and seduced into the Holy Spirit." So when they were assembled, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will reestablish the kingdom and restore it to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to become acquainted with and know what time brings the things and the events of time and their definite period or fixed years and seasons, their critical niche in time, which the Father has appointed fixed and reserved by his own choice and authority and personal power. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end, the very bounds of the earth."
Now, it's important to understand that he is not saying the following. He's not saying that no one will know when that time period is. He's saying this has not, this information, this knowledge that you're asking has not been given to you. In other words, to the disciples, to the apostles. Okay? Mm-hmm. But take note that the disciples are asking the very same question that connects with Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3 and 4. Okay? But they're asking the question in not in reference to the rapture and then the end of the age. Okay? They're connecting his appearance or his coming to the end of the age, because they're connecting the second coming of Yeshua, the second coming of Christ, to the end of this age, the church age, if you will, the age of the church of grace, okay, which would be at the end of the tribulation period, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's what they are referencing. They had no understanding, no epiphany of the rapture, none whatsoever. The only other person that really got a real good understanding, other than Paul, was the Apostle John. And the Apostle John was in this group. He was in this group of individuals that were ignorant to that truth. But But in the book Revelation, in chapter 7, and we'll go to verse 9 through about 15. As he was receiving this great knowledge and understanding and insight while translated into heaven, an angel was sitting next to, or standing next to him, and this angel was an elder very much like him, and asked him, "Do you know where these people came from?" There were people of every tribe and every nation, not just the Jewish nation, but every tribe of every nation. There were hundreds of thousands of them. And they were waving palm branches, and they were there, and they were giving glory to Yeshua. And John had no idea where they came from. And the reason why he had no idea was because they were raptured. Just as the end of the tribulation period started, of the Great Tribulation, the beginning of the Great Tribulation started, the latter 3.5 years, if you will, as that latter 3.5 years started, they were raptured. And in that, John could not fathom and understand from the knowledge that he had even had with Yeshua. He couldn't decipher how this could be. So he asks this angel, this elder, that's standing next to him. And he says, "You know." In other words, I have no idea. And so this elder, this angel, tells him. And the description that he tells him, and where they are with Yeshua, with the Father, is in the Holy of Holies, in the New Jerusalem, in the Holy City, where only the bride can go. And that's when the epiphany begins to come real. It begins to come full circle for him, because he begins to understand that this is different. This is different than what was taught me in Matthew chapter 24 on the Mount of Olives. This is not the second coming of Christ and the end of the tribulation period. This is something that happens at the beginning of the Great Tribulation period. If you go ahead and read that for us, please, in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And this is right after, the sealing of the 144,000 virgin DNA Israelis, Jews. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Amplified again, verse 9, chapter 7, in Revelation. "After this I looked, and a vast host appeared, which no one could count, gathered out of every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. These stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They were attired in white robes with palm branches in their hands. In loud voice they cried, saying, 'Our salvation is due to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. To them we owe our deliverance.' And all the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin and the four living creatures, and they fell prostrate before the throne and worshiped God. 'Amen. So be it,' they cried. 'Blessing and glory and majesty and splendor and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and might be ascribed to our God, to the ages and ages forever and ever throughout the eternities of the eternities. Amen. So it be. Then addressing me, one of the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin said, "Who are these people clothed in the long white robes, and from where have they come?" I replied, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation, persecution, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are now before the very throne of God and serve him day and night in his sanctuary temple. And he who is sitting upon the throne will protect and spread his tabernacle over and shelter them with his presence."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're run out of time, and we will pick it back up next week. We will explain the fact that chapter 6 and chapter 7, chapter 6, verse 12, and chapter 7 in its entirety is talking about the sixth seal. And in the sixth seal begins the great tribulation period. And within that great tribulation period, in the beginning portion of the great tribulation period, is the rapture that John witnessed and understood it to be. We're going to go back to the question. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to pick back up at verse 12. We're going to begin to explain and hopefully, By the grace of Yah, we will give you enough information so that you and I can both begin to protect ourselves and watch and pray against the love of Yah growing cold and waxing weak. Because we're in that day and that hour where we have to fight the good fight of faith, where we have to watch and pray and keep ourselves from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And we'll be going into deep depths pertaining to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, and breaking that down also so that we can understand not only the definition of love, but how to protect that love so that we will be overcomers. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Most of you do have information on how to get in touch with us, and we'll go over that again on next week. Father, we thank you for setting a precedence in us, for setting road signs and roadblocks from detours that have been blocked before us. Mm-hmm. We ask and pray that as we begin to study, to show ourselves approved, that we become the workmen that need not be ashamed. The workman that is not deceived by the enemy. Father, our desire is to protect the love that we have for you. Mm. And to quench any fiery darts of love for this world that would choke the word out of us and choke your life out of us. We thank you for those that have called, and Father, begin to light a renewed fire of your love inside of them and us.
Yes.
So that we will be the overcomers that you've called for in these last days. In Yahushua's name, and until next broadcast, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.